This is Digital Story Podcast number 624, February 27th, 2018. Today's theme is Canon, Fuji, and Pentax make big news. I'm Derek Story. The Canon EOS M50, Pentax K1 Mark II, and Fujifilm X-H1 are all very different cameras. But the one thing they have in common is that they are all recent announcements. Can we speculate about where the camera industry is going by examining these? We take a closer look in today's TVS podcast. So I'm going to chat a little bit about each of these three cameras. Each of them are interesting. We're going to start with the Canon EOS M50, and it is an entry-level camera. So of the three, it is far and away the most entry-level of the bunch, and it's a mirrorless kit also. It will sell for $899 with a kit lens, and it should be available on March 26, so just around the corner. Now, I think one of the interesting things about watching Canon in this space is that they don't have the lens lock-in like they had in the DSLR space. And what I mean by that, for example, in the day when there were really DSLRs only, if you were in the Canon camp or in the Nikon camp, you tended to stay there because it was too difficult to switch over to another brand, switch over to Sony or switch over to Pentax, even though you may like those cameras. But the thought of having to sell all your lenses, buy new lenses, accessories such as batteries and flashes and cords and all that stuff, just seemed a very daunting. Now, however, in the mirrorless space, that all goes away. I mean, I think the biggest appeal of the Canon EOS M50, and I'll get into some details of it in just a second, is that with a fairly affordable adapter, if you're a Canon shooter already, then you can adapt much of your lens library to this mirrorless body. So that's a good thing for Canon shooters. However, if you're not a Canon shooter, then, you know, this lens lock-in has sort of turned on its head a bit, because there's really no compelling reason to go over to Canon if you're shooting Olympus right now, or if you're shooting Sony right now, and you like mirrorless cameras. There's no real reason to go over there. And, you know, the whole lens lock-in thing is a non-issue. And in fact, when folks wanted to move to mirrorless, you know, lens lock-in didn't apply there either, because they were going to have to start all over anyway. There was no real serious Canon offering that could compete with Olympus and Fuji and Panasonic, and then soon thereafter Sony. So it was a wide open field, and you could just pick any camera you wanted if you're going to mirrorless. So now we have the M50, which is an updated entry-level camera, and it's a very nice camera. It has an electronic viewfinder, fully articulating touchscreen, has a 24-megapixel APS-C sensor. It has the Digic 8 processor with dual pixel AF coverage, and it does offer 4K video recording as long as you're okay with 24p. And it does have Wi-Fi, Bluetooth, and NFC. So it's a very capable camera, especially for $899 with a kit lens. And I think especially if you shoot video, because you also get 1080 and 720 HD video. So you get 4K, 1080, and 720. And Canon does video very well. We all know that. They're great at video. So it's a pretty capable camera if you love shooting video, and if you already have some Canon lenses, and you don't mind ponying up for the adapter. Plus, there are some, you know, Canon M series lenses that are pretty nice as well. Great for those in the world of Canon, but outside of the world of Canon, I'm not sure how tempting this entry-level M50 is going to be. We'll see how this technology evolves in upcoming releases by Canon in more sophisticated mirrorless cameras. But at the moment, it's good news for Canon users, and I think for the rest of the folks, they're probably going to be more interested in what Fujifilm is doing, what Sony, Olympus, and Panasonic that they're doing. And we're going to talk about Fuji a little bit later in the show. A nice offering by Canon. I'm happy to see it. The Pentax K1 Mark II. I'm interested in this camera for a couple of reasons. One, because I do shoot Pentax in my personal work. It's one of the brands that I use. And also, I think they've done some interesting things here. Now, the Pentax K1 Mark II will sell for $1,996 and will be available on March 11th, 2018. So the big news, well, actually, there's a couple things here going on with this camera. One of them is the accelerator unit. And this is a preprocessor that sits between the 36 megapixel CMOS sensor. Remember, this is a full frame camera. And the prime for image processor. Ricoh says that this preprocessor increases the signal to noise ratio. So that will reduce noise. And it's probably got a noise reduction process in there somewhere. And because of that, for example, they could raise the top ISO from 209,000 to 819,200. So that's a pretty big jump. And that is because of that preprocessor, that accelerator unit. There are other benefits from that. The colors, which are already very good with Pentax cameras. The blues and the greens, I think, will be a little truer to life. So that's pretty fun stuff. So they've done this major electronic upgrade. What's really fascinating about this is that if you own a Pentax K1, then then you can upgrade the brains of your K1 camera for a limited time to a K1 Mark II. Yes, you can do a brain upgrade. And let me read you what a DP Review said on this, because I want to get this right. For a limited time this summer, current Pentax K1 owners will be able to send their cameras in for service, essentially upgrading them to a Mark II. The service will include a main circuit board swap, and the SR logo on the front of the camera will be replaced with a Mark II logo. I love that touch, upgrading the logos too. The upgraded circuit board will add all of the features introduced in the Mark II, such as shooting up to 819,200 and an updated pixel shift mode as well. So the K1 upgrade will cost $550 in the US and $690 in Canada and will be offered from May 21st, 2018 to September 30th, 2018. So this is quite a thing where you can take your existing Pentax K1, send it in, and have its brains, you know, basically replaced. And the cost saving is tremendous. So if you're in the U.S. and you pay $550, and I'm guessing that you get a cleaning and service at the same time, $550 to upgrade to the K1 Mark II. Now, this is a camera that sells for $2,000. It's going to sell for $2,000 here in just a couple weeks, and you can get it for $500 if you're an existing user. And I like this on so many levels. You know, we started to see a little bit of this, or actually a lot of bit of this, with the heavy-duty firmware updates that Olympus and Fuji and some of the other companies were doing, where they were adding a tremendous new feature set through firmware updates so that you could continue using your existing camera. My Olympus EM5 Mark II has been updated many times via firmware, and I think there's another one coming down the pike. And so that camera has stayed very current. I mean, the one thing that hasn't been upgraded on it is that it has the 16 megapixel sensor instead of the 20 megapixel that I have on the Pen F. And the EM1 Mark II both have 20s. So the EM5 Mark II has the 16 megapixel. But in terms of functionality, those firmware updates have added a whole lot to that camera and have essentially kept it very, very current. That is a great camera that will continue to be wonderful well into the future. So the firmware updates, I think, are something that I really like seeing in the industry. And I think it builds brand loyalty. I really do. Because if you feel like that you make an investment in Olympus, or you feel like that if you make an investment in Pentax, that they're going to look out for you, that they're not going to just take your camera and make it obsolete in 2 or 3 years, that you will be able to use your camera basically for as long as you want and with very good results. Now, this replacing the brains, this is a whole new level, because not only do you have the firmware, but they are actually putting in a new processor in your camera. So if your existing K1 is in great shape, you send it in, get it cleaned up, get the new brains put in, you have a K1 Mark II for $550. I think that is just really cool. This is something that I would love to see more and more in the industry. And one of the reasons why I like it, of course, is because I'm someone who's very conscious about, you know, what we're putting into landfills, what we're throwing away. This is particularly bothersome in the area of smartphones. You know, the turnover on smartphones is just too fast. And it used to be that way with DSLRs. It's starting to slow down a bit now. But I want to slow down that hardware turnover and get more use out of the equipment we have while still being able to take advantage of the latest technology. And I think this is a great plan. Pentax Ricoh saw this from the start, right? When, you know, when they designed the K1, they knew they were going to do this with the K1 Mark II. They knew that they needed to keep, you know, certain components the same, and that this camera had to be easily upgradable so that they could do this. This is fantastic. I just absolutely love it. Now, another thing that you can do with the K1, same thing you could do with, you know, the original K1, but the K1 Mark II, is that it does have a cropped sensor mode. And I think cropped sensor mode is a really neat thing, because what does it allow you to do? On a full frame camera, then you can use your cropped sensor lenses. So you can use, in the Pentax case, you can use all of your DA lenses on your full frame camera. So you can buy the full frame lenses or use existing Pentax full frame lenses, right? I have the Pentax FA, I forget, a 50 millimeter f1.4. That was used on film cameras. It works great on digital cameras too. So you have that whole older lens catalog, but you can use your DA lenses on this camera too. You just switch it into APS-C mode, which takes it to a 15 megapixel APS-C crop, but you can use all of your lenses on there. And they work great. They work fantastic. And Ricoh's actually published a list of the lenses that will produce, you know, pretty good results in full frame mode also. So not only can you use the DA lenses in crop mode, all of them, this is good stuff. I mean, this is the kind of stuff that I really like to see. So anyway, just the specs on the K1 Mark II, 36.4 full-frame CMOS sensor, cross-tilt LCD monitor. It has full HD video recording, but it doesn't do 4K. Has a 33-point AF sensor. We've talked about ISO already, 819,200. Pixel shift resolution 2. Pixel shift, of course, allows you to get a higher resolution image by using pixel shift. And the 2 version is much more liberal than version 1, which really had to have things locked down on a tripod. 5-axis in-body shake reduction. And then it has Wi-Fi, GPS, dual SD card slots, weather-sealed magnesium alloy body, has the Astro functionality. It really has a lot. I mean, having a full-frame camera that has GPS built in is also pretty darn cool. It's really nice. And I hope these sort of things, extending the lives of our existing cameras without having to give up functionality, I hope this is something that we see more with more camera companies. Again, I love what the firmware that's going on, the firmware updates, but physical updates is also very impressive. So now we have the Fujifilm X-H1, and it's going to sell for $1,899. and it will be available on March 1st, so right around the corner. So about the same price as the Pentax DSLR, full-frame DSLR. Now, here's the thing about the X-H1. The X-T2, which is an amazing camera, it offers a 4K video. But the X-H1 really takes things to a different level. Just about every aspect of the X-H1 video feature set is upgraded, you know, compared to the X-T2. So it can shoot 4K for longer, 15 minutes compared to 10. It has a new Interna film simulation preset that is intended to provide quick and easy way to shoot gradable, wide dynamic range video footage. For the first time, you can apply dynamic range DR expansion settings in video mode on the X-H1. And when combined with the DR 400% setting, Fujifilm says footage shot with the Eternal preset should deliver a total of 12 EV dynamic range. That's a lot of dynamic range. Ay, ay, ay. So it uses the same 24 megapixel APS-C X-Trans sensor as the X-T2, but the X-H1's on-sensor phase detection autofocus system has been upgraded. The improvements to low light sensitivity and focus tracking are kind of the headliners there. It can now focus down to -1 EV, which is, again, that's fairly impressive. And the phase detection AF should work at effective apertures as small as f11. So if you're shooting with a long lens like the 100 to 400, 4.5 to 5.6 with a 2x teleconverter, it still should work. The AF still should work. So when you look at, okay, what's going on here with the X-H1, again, I think we're looking at a camera that excels at video. And this is, you know, Panasonic just released a camera that basically, you know, had that same focus. And on top of that, Fuji is releasing lenses that are designed for serious video use. So I think that camera companies outside of Canon are probably saying, you know what, we're not going to give the video space to you. You know, we know that, you know, you were a leader in that area. We know that you're still the leader in that area, but we think that we can make inroads there. And I think that's really what's going on with the Fujifilm X-H1. So if you're an X-T2, you know, photographer, if you have one of those, do you need to go out and get an X-H1? I don't think so, especially if you're primarily a stills photographer who shoots some video. But if video is really going to be your thing, and if you like Fujifilm cameras, this is a camera then that you've probably been waiting for, because Panasonic has been doing great in the video space. Obviously, Canon's been doing great in the video space. Sony does a pretty good job there. And now you can shoot Fujifilm as well for serious 4K video. It's not really, you know, my thing per se, but I appreciate what they're doing. And I think, you know, one of the things that Fujifilm's looking at, you know, they're having a tremendous role right now. Their 2017 was quite good, and I anticipate so will their 2018. But they understand, just like everyone understands, that you have to continue to expand your base. You have to continue to expand those who are interested in your product outside of the comfort zone that, you know, already exists. And I think they see video, high-end video, as a way to do that. Okay, so let's just go over, you know, a few more of the specs. So again, 5-axis in-body image stabilization. This is great. You know, suddenly everyone has in-body image stabilization. And I just think that's the way it should be. I'm really happy to see that. A whole lot of video stuff, but they also have a 3.69 million dot electronic viewfinder and a 3-inch 1 million dot three-way tilt LCD touchscreen. 325-point intelligent hybrid AF system. They can do 1080p at 120 frames per second. There is a flicker reduction mode with that. And then it has something that's one of my favorite features on this camera. I know all the tech stuff is great and everything, but leave it to me to like the shiny object, right? So they have a 1.28-inch sub-LCD top screen. And it's got that same cool design that the Fujifilm medium format cameras have. And I just love it. I think it's really useful. I think it's really handsome. I just love the way this top LCD looks. You know, it's one of the things that we've given up a bit in the mirrorless space, those top LCDs. I've been okay without them. In fact, I don't even have one on my Pentax KP DSLR. Ugly ones are ugly ones, and you know, who cares about those other than sometimes they're useful. But this one, designed by Fuji, really looks good. I like it a lot, and it sort of makes me want one. Also, it's a weather-sealed body. It has two SD card slots. And one really nice touch is that it's the same size battery as the X-T2. So I think I love it when that happens because, you know, batteries are like one of those things. And especially if you're going to be shooting video, which this camera is really designed for, you know, batteries are a big deal. And to have to go out and buy six batteries when you buy the camera, well, that really adds to the expense. So the fact that you can use, if you're a Fujifilm shooter, use your existing batteries, I think is really cool. So where are we with these then? Here are the things that I see. I see Canon continuing to explore and work the mirrorless space, and I'm beginning to feel like that they have a plan now that they have some confidence in. And you know, they tend to release new features at the entry level, and then, you know, then they release the more sophisticated cameras. I think they're doing that in the mirrorless space too. So I would guess that we are going to see some pretty good mirrorless offerings from Canon before too long. I don't know if we'll see them by the end of 2018 or not, but I have a feeling they have a pretty good-looking roadmap in that space. The M50, for me, as I said earlier, isn't a wow camera, but I do think that it points to the future. And so it's going to be something to keep an eye on. Pentax, people who do shoot Pentax just absolutely love this brand. And I'm in that camp for sure. But regardless if you shoot a Pentax or not, you've got to admire what they're doing with the K1 series. That, you know, it took them a while to create their full frame offering. But when they did, it seems to be really well thought out. And I think that this series, the K1, the K1 Mark II, and then whatever we see after this is going to be intelligent, it's going to be clever, it's going to be efficient, and of course it's going to take good pictures. Pentax cameras take great pictures. So I'm pretty excited about this, and we may be seeing a glimpse into the upgradable future with this Pentax camera. They've already, for a long time, even going back to the SLR days, just did neat little things like you could take off the grip and put on a motor drive, stuff like that. My KP has, it ships with three different grips, so I can pick the size grip that I want on it. They've always done stuff like this, but this is a whole new level. Pretty exciting stuff. And I don't know, again, if we're going to move people from other brands over to Pentax, but we're certainly going to keep, I think, the Pentax shooters happy. And, you know, that's always job one. Fujifilm, you know, they're a camera company to be reckoned with right now, along with Sony. And I think their push into the video space, as they're doing with this X-H1, probably makes Panasonic a bit nervous, probably is raising a few eyebrows over in the Sony camp. I don't know if Canon's paying attention to this or not. They tend to just focus on their own world for the most part. But I think it's a good move for them, and I think the way that they're doing it is very intelligent. And I don't think it's going to expand their user base tremendously moving into video, but boy, for people who want to shoot Fujifilm cameras, who shoot primarily stills, but are required to do some video, this could help them hang on to those folks, knowing that they won't have to pick up another brand camera in order to meet their video needs. And I think in that area, this is a very good move. And who knows, it may grow their market share a bit too. As I said, they're already a force to be reckoned with, and they've done a very nice job with this X-H1. So three really nice announcements that we got. And all three of these cameras are going to be available here real soon in March. And I like what I see, and I'm very curious to see what's going to happen over the rest of this year. We're only in February, and we already have this killer stuff hitting the marketplace. All right, I'm going to talk about photos for macOS High Sierra just for a second. And I have a new twist for you. This is really good news for those of you that have already signed up for the next Nimble Classroom, Build Your Digital Darkroom with Photos. That's on March 10th. That's going to be here real soon. Those of you that have already signed up, you're going to get a free signed copy, like as in with a pen, signed copy of my latest, The Apple Photos Book for Photographers, second edition. It's the one that deals with all the new stuff in High Sierra. It is brand new. I think I mentioned here last week, I got the preview copy and it looked great. So everyone that signs up for this class on March 10th, this Nimble Classroom, will also get a signed copy of the book. So the book is, what, 20 some odd dollars. And not only will you get the videos after the class, you know, of what we talked about in class, but then you will also get the signed book. And so we'll hang out in the classroom. We'll have a good time. I'm going to show you some really neat things in this Nimble Classroom on March 10th. And then you will get the videos of what we talked about. And then you will also get the book. You should be in pretty good shape after this for a fairly modest investment, right? The Nimble Classroom is $99. So if you're interested in really understanding how you can create a workflow using some of the best tools out there, you know, from Skylum, On1, DxO, all those folks, if you really want to understand how you can integrate those tools with photos and build something special, all you have to do is go to thenimblephotographer.com, click on Classroom, and you'll see the Nimble class right there. If you go to the Workshops page on the Digital Story, down at the bottom, we have Nimble Classrooms. And of course, I have a link in the show notes. Just like I have a link for everything that I've talked about, all the cameras, everything that we've been discussing so far in the show, links to all of that. I highly encourage you to go to the show notes and just, you know, one-stop shopping for everything that goes on in this podcast. On March 10th, we're going to have a lot of fun. We still have a few seats open. Hope to see you there. So I want to talk about the Skylum Photography Public Group. Which I started moderating not too long ago. I'm in my second week now, I think, second or third week. Some of you came over to the group, and those of you that did, I really want to thank you. It's great having you there. And for example, Preston came over, and you know, we were doing this thing where you submit an image, and you know, then we make it over with Luminar, and you know, write about it. I wasn't really getting anything interesting. And Preston comes in and just like drops this great image of these basalt formations that he took, you know, at the ocean. It's just a gorgeous shot. And I really had something great to work with, and it made all the difference in the world, you know, for this article, you know, this thing and this promotion that we do in the public group. This is the kind of stuff that, you know, our TDS membership does. They save the day. They do. So thanks for all of you who have come over. For those of you that are interested in Luminar, this public group is a lot of fun because basically what we do is we post photos and we talk about them. It's very simple, but it's a lot of fun. And I'd love to have as many of you there as possible. I'm having a good time with it. I really am. Of course, there's a link to it in the show notes, or just go on Facebook and search for Skylum Photography Public Group. There are a few days left to be eligible for the drawing for a Pentax SLR film camera with lens. And the way that you can become eligible for that drawing is by February 28th, which is very soon. Go over to Instagram and follow the Film Camera Project, which is a new Instagram feed I've set up. We're having a lot of fun with it. Everyone who follows by February 28th will have their hat thrown into the ring, their lens cap thrown into the ring for that drawing. And next week, I'm going to announce the winner of the camera. It's a random drawing for all the folks that are in there. I think we have like 175 right now. It's probably going to be right around that number, probably a few more. So you have pretty good odds of winning a camera. I'll make the announcement next week. And then that camera will be shipped to one lucky winner. And we're having a lot of fun with the feed. It's basically showing film cameras and me giving you a little bit of information about them. So it's a little education. It's a little eye candy. It's a little fun. If you like that world, I think you'll really enjoy the feed. And again, it's called The Film Camera Project, and it's on Instagram. So the reservation forms went out to those on the reserve list for the Sonoma County Hot Air Balloon and Drone Photography Workshop on June 8th through the 10th. We're already getting signups. I think this one's going to be really popular. If you're on the reserve list and you did not get your reservation form, make sure you let me know and I'll get it out to you. And if you're not on the reserve list, but you would like to be, you'd like a chance to get into this workshop, just go ahead and get on the reserve list now. I'm going to do a second wave before I make this workshop public. And this is going to be drone photography, hot air balloon photography. We're going to ride a train to go to street photography. We're going to go to an air museum. We're going to have lunch at Sonoma County Airport and watch Touch and Goes. I mean, if you like aerial stuff, then this is going to be a terrific workshop. Again, on June 8th through 10th, right here in Sonoma County. It's going to be a lot of fun. And those of you on the reserve list, like I said, you should have your reservation forms in your inbox right now. And finally, a big thanks to the folks over at Red River Paper for supporting this podcast and for helping us keep this show on the air, along with our wonderful Patreon members. And by the way, Patreon members, there's going to be new videos coming up here in just a few days, right? We're near the end of February, which means new videos, and you'll be seeing that in your Patreon feed before too long. But the folks at Red River Paper, combined with our Patreon members, are the backbone of this podcast and allow us to keep developing new products, keep coming up with new things, and just, you know, keep this show getting better and growing and covering more areas. And it's just, it's a great team, Red River Paper and our Inner Circle members, our Patreon members. We have a tile on all the pages of the digital story for Red River Paper. You can click there, go to our landing page, and there they have a special offer, and that's your gateway into all beautiful things Red River Paper, including their paper supplies, ink, tutorials, reviews, how-tos, just all sorts of really terrific stuff. And remember, they have a Facebook page too at facebook.com/Red River Paper. And our Patreon members also have a tile on all the pages of the digital story. Click on that, find out more about being an Inner Circle supporter and helping me keep this show on the air. All right, folks, thanks so much. I appreciate your support, and I appreciate your interest in photography and your willingness to continue to get better, to expand, and to just, you know, share it with those in your community. You know, that is the big thing. You are the influencers in your world. And then once a week, we come together here at the podcast, all the influencers, and learn about the latest and greatest so that we can spread the word of photography. Until next week, have a great week. I'll see you Tuesday. Bye-bye now.